Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, and it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything, from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
First, a new survey has shown that Irish people know the risks of skin cancer, but still think it's all right to get slightly sunburnt, while almost half of those asked said that they have used sunbeds despite knowing the risks to their skin. Let's have a chat about this. We have Shirley on the line. Shirley, you used to use sunbeds. Tell us your experience.
I did back in my teens and early 20s. I used sunbeds an awful lot. And really and truly, I thought I was going to come out gorgeous and brown. But I'm red-haired and white-skinned, and I come out like a Honda 50 because you're just red stripes, white stripes, and, you know, even getting burnt on a sunbed. I've got burnt a few times as well, like years ago. But, yeah, it's they're really... And everyone thinks they're okay, and then they get older and things happen, and, you know, it's... I've heard of people putting their little girls, probably little boys maybe as well, on sunbeds for their communion. And I just, no. No, sunbeds aren't... I'm not saying it was totally sunbeds that were... But a woman said to me one day, who was a fairly good expert in this, sunbeds are cancer like smoking is to lung cancer.
Right. Well, you did get cancer. And was it directly linked to them, do you know, Shirley?
Well, it was, yeah, I would think so. It was directly linked, but it wasn't helped by going out in the sun when I was whatever age again, 18 to 20, and, you know, putting baby oil on your skin because we all thought we were going to get tans, you know, instead of sun cream. But no, everyone done it. It wasn't really, sun cream was never mentioned.
Well, I'm certainly not going to make you feel guilty about that because when I was 18, full disclosure here, there was a big trend, you know, in the build up to the Debs. So many of my friends, including myself, were doing the sunbeds and the sun rooms where you'd stand up in these hideous rooms when I think about it now. But I don't think the education, well, it wasn't there. I mean, we weren't aware how dangerous it is versus now.
It's only coming out really in the last 5 years that I think I don't know who did the 5S for trying to protect yourself. You know, you just need to be a little bit more savvy with sun, especially with babies and children. Now, even my own family, I'd be very wary about the younger ones because the history is there now of melanoma.
Yeah.
And the history of my melanoma is 20 years to this year. It started in 2004 and it's gone on like the whole way really until the last time I had actual cancer was 2014. I had that in my brain and I had to get it removed. And then it went on to, I might as well tell you from the start instead of going in and out in between. And it started off on my shoulder like a freckle.
Okay.
In 2004. And I had three surgeries on that. You know, one for the test. The second one was to get all the lymph nodes round and the whole lot out. And then I had to go for a central node biopsy. And then 2009, it came back. Now, I was a paramedic in Limerick City, and I thought, oh, sure, that's it now. That'll be gone. That's enough. And in 2009, it came back in my lung, my left lung. So they took the lower left lobe of my lung, which was not a very nice operation. But I kept going back to work, and I kept trying to keep normal. And then I went on a drug called interferon. And I think they give you that drug to kill you. And that is the truth, because it was really, really hard. I was on that about a year, and it came back again in my adrenal gland, my right adrenal and my right ovary. So they had to come out. And that was 2010 going into 2011. It was actually New Year's Eve. I was at home, and I was a bit cranky and stuff. I knew that something wasn't right.
Yeah.
And by the time I'd come home, I had a golf ball on my neck. It just blew up straight away. And it was very, very painful. So I went back to prof, and they couldn't operate on me again because they said, you've had so much anaesthetics now and surgeries that, you just can't have any more. And I asked them directly out, what's the story? Where are we moving on to? And I was very unwell at the time. And I asked him to come in because he was in with other patients. And I said, when he's free, he might come in. And he did. And he said, look, he said, I've been giving you drugs. I've been giving you surgeries. And this, it's like a child's toy where you hit it and it keeps popping up. And you keep hitting it and it keeps popping up. So I said, well, how long would I have to live? And he said, well, in my judgment, at the way you are right at this minute, he said, I'd say 6 months.
And when was that, Shirley?
That was 2011.
My goodness. This is an incredible... Let me just bring some other people in, Shirley, because I'd like to get Rebecca's take on this. We have Rebecca Helen on the line, consultant dermatologist. Have you been listening to Shirley's story there, and are you surprised by the results of this study, Rebecca?
Yeah, thanks, Shirley, for sharing your story. I think it's really important, that people understand how serious melanoma can be and how difficult it can be to treat as well. It's a story I've heard before. And also the story of people doing a few sunbeds, in their teens, like you say, for the devs, or a couple of sunbeds before their wedding. And, they think that, they don't understand that risk stays with them. And it's a risk of melanoma and other skin cancers as well. So sunbeds before the age of 35 increases the risk of melanoma by nearly 60%. And also it increases the risk of all other common types of skin cancer as well. And it's often young people who tend to use sunbeds, and they really don't understand the risks or what might happen in the future. It's all down to ultraviolet. So in a sunbed, there's very unnaturally high levels of UVA. We don't normally tan from UVA. So when we're out in the sun, if you do develop a tan, that's from UVB. But in sunbeds, you have incredibly high doses of UVA that are incredibly damaging to the DNA in our cells. So we're inducing a very unnatural tan. And if you are fair-skinned, as a lot of fair-skinned people in Ireland with Celtic skin, just not designed to tan, and particularly nobody's designed to tan in that way. It's completely unnatural and just incredibly dangerous.
And Rebecca, and you say 60% of an increased chance of skin cancer. So these really are horrifying findings. I'll tell you what I'm surprised at. 10.6% use sunbeds in the last year. 41% use them at some stage, which doesn't shock me because it was a big trend. But now 10.6% are using them in the last year.
Yeah.
So it's still a trend.
By that. It's just people don't quite understand what UV is, what ultraviolet is, what the risk is, And I think that's just in general with sun exposure, our attitudes towards sun exposure and getting tans and our love of tans in Ireland, but what the risk is. So ultraviolet is they're invisible rays from the sun. And obviously in sunbeds we have, an artificial way of developing them. But you've got UVA and UVB. So we're exposed to these in Ireland, you know, mostly between April and September. And they're completely invisible. You can't see them. You can't feel them. This is where wind burn comes from on a cloudy day. People get burned and they say, well, sure, it was a cloudy day. It wasn't sunny. I didn't feel warm. So you don't know you're getting exposed to these. But the levels in Ireland pick up from spring. They peak in summer and then they taper down in autumn and they're quite low over the winter. But between April and September, we should be protecting our skin from the sun because even low levels of UV are causing small amounts of damage to our skin over a long period of time. And this does cause skin cancer down the line. So you don't have to have a sunburn and you don't have to get into a sunbed to increase your risk of skin cancer.
So using that SPF every day, hugely important. And I think we're all getting much better about that. Can I just ask you about the sunbeds? Should there not be legislation to ban them if they're this damaging? And there's, I assume, no positive benefit to them whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, there has been some legislation that's come in over the last few years that has banned them for people under 18. It's not very well regulated in my experience. And then, you know, it's people in their, you know, 20s or late teens who use them as well, you know, they should be banned, you know, because they do cause skin cancer. We know this. There's no such thing as a healthy tan. And 80 to 90% of skin cancers are preventable. So just by removing our exposure to UV or limiting our exposure to UV, we could really cut skin cancer rates. But there just isn't that understanding about the dangers of UV and, you know, particularly sunbeds are just so dangerous for younger people, you know, more so. And they think that, you know, that risk doesn't follow them for the rest of their life. It absolutely does.
Of course. Yeah. Marissa Carter is on the line, founder of a fake tan brand. We love being tanned, Marissa. Clearly you found that gap in the market. But from the bottle, obviously, is the healthy choice.
Yeah, well, sorry, Anna, thanks for having me on. And, you know, I was listening to Shirley there talk about her experience with cancer. And it just terrifies me. You know, when I think back to my own childhood, the smell of calamine lotion is what takes me back to my childhood, because that's what was put on when we would get sunburned. Like, there was no SPF. It just wasn't. Our parents, everyone around us, no one even thought to put sun factor on us. It was just baby oil for the adults, and you'd have calamine lotion there for the kids for when they got burned. So my experience is very similar to yours, Anna. You know, before the Debs, going on the sunbeds, everyone trying to get, like, I'm talking now, but over two decades ago when I was, having my Debs.
Yep, same.
So the only way, there was no fake tan. You know, when I was making my Debs, there were no false tans on the market. And to this day, I still remember when Saint-Tropez launched in Ireland, saving up all of my pocket money, weeks and weeks and weeks of pocket money, to buy a bottle of Saint-Tropez tan and trying to squeeze the last drop of lotion out of the bottle so that I would have a lovely glow and look bronzed and radiant. And I think, you know, our love of looking bronzed and looking healthy, because we've no sunshine, you know, we've so little sunshine in Ireland. And you know, just that feeling when you have a lovely glow, you just feel so confident and you feel radiant and it gives you that little boost. And I'm hearing that so many young people now are obsessed with sunbeds. And of course, I can understand why they want to look tanned. But I just think, please, please, the only healthy tan is a false tan.
Is from a bottle. We have Deirdre on the line joining us this afternoon as well. Deirdre, you're recovering from basal cell carcinoma skin cancer. Tell us about your journey.
I originally was diagnosed with basal cell carcinoma in 2018. And that's a form of non-melanoma skin cancer. And I noticed a spot on the side of my nose, and then there were some, you know, crustiness, and I was getting very scaly. I went to my doctor, And, you know, she had given me cream, but unfortunately within a couple of weeks it didn't go. So I was sent down to Waterford to the dermatologist, who then I got a biopsy and I got surgery. And obviously they removed the cancer and I had some on, above my eyebrow. So that stayed at bay for more than 5 years. And in 2022, I noticed I had some more crustiness and like a cold sore effect on the side of my lip, which grew bigger and the scab would fall off and it would bleed. Again, I went through the same procedure, went to my doctor. I noticed I had some more on my chest and my back. So I was sent to Waterford. Now, at that stage, I was a year waiting to be seen to actually. And when I went down, actually, I was told I was straight away, it was basal cell carcinoma, and I was put on chemotherapy topical cream, which is called Effudix.
Okay.
And that cream is it's a very intense chemotherapy cream, which is, you know, the treatment is 4 to 6 weeks, which you apply it on morning and evening. And at that stage then, you know, I couldn't believe it that I got it again, and that, like, how was I not that aware to protect my skin more or be more, you know, vital of the signs? But, you know, I started then doing videos and blogs and feeling that, you know, I need to get this awareness and advocate and spread this awareness, because I myself, the first time round, probably wasn't vigilant enough to, you know, put sunscreen on and wear the wide brim hat. But I mean, now after the treatment, and obviously during that treatment, I wasn't able to go outdoors. I now would advocate hugely amount of skin cancer awareness on protecting our skin while outdoors from sun damage and, you know, skin cancer. And going back to your first caller there, we're talking about the prevention, the five S's. That's Sun Smart. I'm part of that campaign as well. And that's the Sun Smart campaign. And they're always advocating about the five S's, the slip on the clothing, slap on the sunscreen, slap on the wiper and hat, beach shade, and slide on the sunglasses. And I try to bring them to schools and stuff like that, and you know, to try and encourage children from a young age.
Of course.
To start protecting their skin.
We're losing you slightly, Deirdre, but I know exactly what you're saying. There's an educational piece around it, but and it's shocking that these findings are this horrifying, that people are still, an average of 8 sessions they're doing, 10% of people in the survey of over 1,000 people. Shirley, can I just check with you, what would you say to younger people now about protecting their skin in the sun after your experience?
Well, I know everyone needs a little bit of vitamin D. Now, I do still go on sun holidays, but I go out in the sun for maybe 10 minutes just to get that vitamin D. And sun, there's every type of a tan out there for every type of a skin and colour and everything. So I would say go with false tan, and really, if you're not going to do that, you need to put on the proper sun cream and stay away from sunbeds.
Of course, yeah. Sage advice. And Rebecca, I'm guessing you're going to tell us any changes we spot in texture, in colour, have them checked out immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. So any moles that are changing in size, shape or colour, any ugly ducklings that look different to everything else, you don't have to develop melanoma from a pre-existing mole. You can get one just coming on new out of the blue. So you shouldn't be getting new moles after your 30s. So get somebody to check your back, you know, look over all your skin, get to know what's there. If you're concerned about anything that's changing, go to your GP, or, you know, I work with Allview as well. We do a teledermatology service. You can look them up online, allview.ie. If you have anything like that, you know, skin lesions, anything growing, anything changing that you're concerned about, always get it checked.
Brilliant. Rebecca, Marissa, Shirley and Deirdre, thank you very much for joining us today. Someone said in Australia we banned sunbeds, in Europe we banned straws, and there is the problem. Thank you, all of you, for joining us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.